Yep. Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got Professor Emeritus Howard Schwaber of the Political Science Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Of course, my Monday guest co-host, Matt Rothschild, host of the podcast Wisconsin Forward. Let's get right back to it, Professor Schwaber. Sure. I was asking you about the media in this moment. And you had 3 points. If you can briefly encapsulate your first point, and then you were going to extrapolate some new concepts for us. Go right ahead.
So the first point is that, as I mentioned, the ethical challenge for media is very, very difficult. How to be fair and not editorial when you're news reporting in the face of misinformation. And that's a clear problem, and there's no easy answer. The second point is that media is a business, and a lot of what your caller called both-siderism is imposed by the owners of the media outlets who want to maximize their markets. One way to maximize a market is to choose a political voice and amplify it. The other way is to try and appeal to all sides. And that's a dynamic that gets in the way. In both those situations, the crucial imperative is that the media not allow itself to be used as a platform for misinformation, regardless of the justification, you know, as essentially part of a conspiracy. And people are very canny and very deliberate, as your callers have suggested, about using the media in just that way. Get the rumor out there, get the narrative out there, and you can close off the space for dialogue. But there's a third thing I wanted to bring up. There's a term that people in security studies like to, have started to use lately called stochastic terrorism. And yes, it's an internet thing. It used to be if you wanted to get a terrorist to blow up a bridge, you had to recruit them and pay them and train them and transport them. It's expensive and difficult. Not anymore. The stochastic version is to send the right kind of provocative message out into the ether by virtue of the internet, and out of 10 million people who see it, one will respond. And that's the form of violence that we're seeing now, and it's not new. It is a technique pioneered by the anti-abortion movement 20-some years ago. But the growth of the internet has made it infinitely more powerful. And so these narratives, there's an old word, incitement. But the problem is our speech categories don't work very well anymore, because when you say something on the internet, it's there forever, right? So it's not just someone who hears it this second, but the person might respond to it immediately. So I could say something now that a year from now someone will hear and respond to on the spot. And if one out of 10 million people responds to that with an act of violence, I have succeeded at no cost to myself in creating an act of terrorist violence. And that's at least part of what we're seeing going on here.
You will be assured, Professor Schwaber, or perhaps reassured to know that, one, I have used the term stochastic terrorism on this show, and two, just a few minutes before you joined us, I said part of the question of ultimate and perhaps intended responsibility here is Donald Trump says a volume of patently, as you put it, demonstrably false, inflammatory, incendiary things. He says them at a volume. He says them at a volume over a sustained period of time. And when you're saying that to hundreds of millions of people, that the statistical realities of that are very real. That's the, quote, stochastic idea behind stochastic terrorism. I believe my colleague Matt has a question or comment for you.
Well, first, a comment, then a question. Trump is still inciting people. I mean, just in the last 24 hours, he said these radical left Democrats are sick of mind, hate our country, and actually want to destroy our inner cities. And they are even threatening members of ICE. I mean, and so, you know, this goes out to millions and millions of his followers. It's very dangerous at this moment. The question I have is, before the break, you were talking about Trump getting more and more desperate because his lies are becoming obvious to people. But what happens when he gets more desperate? That's the question I have.
Well, I think we're seeing it. He gets more violent. And by the way, I'm not sure that Trump personally is feeling any sense of desperation, because I'm genuinely not sure how in touch with reality he is. But the people around him are aware that. So look, there's a conflict within MAGA supporters about the support for Israel's attack on Iran. There's a conflict among the supporters over the issues, various issues involved in the budget bill, right? So there, it was never a singular movement. It was always a cobbled, like all movements, a cobbled together movement of different interests, and some of them are pulling apart. So, you know, there's a reason for the people who are in charge of strategy to be feeling a little bit desperate. I think the response is, and I think we see from people like Noam, in particular, as well as Trump himself, is to become more inciting, is to become more violent and speak more hatefully, because you want to drown out the doubts. You know, if you fear that your cause is beginning to be doubted, double down and make it more extreme and rally the troops around fear. That's the literal definition of demagoguery, and I think it's beyond peradventure. It is what we are seeing in the White House today.
Yeah, folks, and that's what's scary to me.
Yes, indeed. Folks, that's Professor Harold Schwaber, Professor Emeritus of Political Science from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, making us all a little smarter this afternoon. How do we move forward? What should people do if they are concerned about the moment that we're in, Professor?
Well, I think we're seeing it. And I'll go back to my initial comment, which is a very commonplace observation, a variation on it, that, you know, the whole two worlds, we live in different realities. Trump and his people are speaking to their base. I don't think they think for a minute the people of Los Angeles are being fooled. So the rest of us have to not be fooled. We have to protest peacefully. Trump wants the violence. He wants it very badly. Nothing could help Trump more than something like the kind of violence we saw only occasionally, but we did see it during the Black Lives Matter protests of a few years ago. And I mean, I hate to be unbelievably boring about this, but in 2026, vote.
From Professor Schwaber's lips to your ears and the great divine, if you believe in that sort of thing, vote. Take to the streets. Make your voice heard. Do so peacefully. Do so with your vote and your voice, and never through violence. Thank you, Professor Matt Rothschild. My great thanks to you, my friend. I appreciate it. Everybody, that's going to do it for me this afternoon. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk about those No Kings rallies. How many people were there? What exactly went down, as well as Trump's bizarro army parade? All coming up tomorrow on the Maggie Dawn Show. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.